We're going to take a look at a Talmudic murder mystery. The case of the Turk and the Tana. Hahu Arma, there was an Arami. Hahu Arma, there was a Nachri, an Arami. Arami Obedavi. There was a Nachri to have a Salik v'achel Psachim Yerushalayim. He would be Oleh, he was Salik, he would go up, literally. He would be Oleh and eat Karban Pesach Yerushalayim. Keneged Adin? And the Nachri knew, and apparently relished the fact, that he was flouting the halacha. And he says, he brags. Amar, this Nachri said, Ksiv, it says in your Torah, Kol Benech Lo Yochal Bo, Kol Arel Lo Yochal Bo, a pasuk in the Chumash that a Nachri is not allowed to eat Karban Pesach. Another pasuk in the Chumash that an Arel, one who does, an individual who does not have a milah, cannot eat Karban Pesach. That's what it says in your Torah, that the rules you claim you keep, the standards that you claim that you maintain, that's all talk. And look at me. I'm a Nachri and an Aro. And not only do I eat Karban Pesach, but here's where you hear that there was like a bragging angle to it, is I'm eating Mishufri Shufri. I'm eating the finest cuts of Karban Pesach. Rubbing it in his face. Who is he saying this to? So at this point, it sounds like he just, you know, a soliloquy. But it becomes clear that he's saying it to someone, and specifically one of the Gedolei Hadar. Because the response comes from Yehuda ben Beseira. Maybe Yehuda ben Beseira tells him, Amale Yehuda ben Beseira, Miko Safulach me Alia? Are they Sofe? Are they Safi you from the Alia? What do those words mean? So, in other words, Safi, Samach, Pe, Yud, is an Aramaic Shoresh, Aramaic verb, that means to feed, to provide food. It's sometimes used in other sugyas as well. They talk about, in the sugya of Chinuch, we had seen earlier in the year, a little bit of the Gemara in Yivamas Kuf Yudalad. A katan ochel levelos, ain't based on mitzvah la frisho, and the katan is eating something not kosher, based is not obligated to stop him. We had a discussion, we showed him exactly what the parameters are, but the Gemara differentiates, Beis doesn't have to stop him, but l'sposo be a dime is still usher. To be so fair, if he's eating on his own, we might not stop him, but it doesn't mean that we have the right to provide it to him. L'sposos. It's the same word here, it's been used in Hebrew. In Hebrew conjugation here, it's been used in an Aramaic sense. Mikosafula, do they provide you? Do they serve you? Do they feed you? The alya, the tail, which is one of the juiciest, finest cuts of meat. So he says, no. Armor lelo. He says, no. So Yehuda ben Beseira says, well, kisalkas lahasam, once you get that shorish, samach lamed kuf, is to be oleh. When you go up to there, as next year, you're going to go back to Yerushalayim for Karban Pesach again. Eim alahu, you tell them, say to them, emor lehem, sefu li me'alya, feed me tail. And why is Yehuda ben Beseira saying all this? So Rashi explains, Mikosafulach, Yehuda ben Beseira's response is Kulum nosecha min ha'aliyah. Well, are they giving you any tail lecha? And implication being, Rashi explains, Ein nosecha im lakacha shabo. They're only giving you the lean cut. They're not giving you the grade A, the finest. They're keeping the best stuff for themselves. Well, why is he saying this? Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira understood right away that here's this, he needs to solve this problem. He needs to solve this problem. But as it becomes clear over the course of the story, the simplest solution, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira himself should show up in Yerushalayim and make sure that the fellow doesn't eat Karban Pesach again. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira apparently wasn't planning to go to Yerushalayim. He was, as we're going to see at the end of the story, he's staying in the town of Netziva. This Nachri is planning to go to Yerushalayim, but not Yehuda ben Beseira. What's he going to do? So Yehuda ben Maseira thinks incredibly quickly. And he realizes the only way to the only avenue of communication, the only vehicle to communicate this concern to the people in Yerushalayim is the Nachri himself. It's the only solution. But how can Yehuda ben Maseira maneuver the situation so that the Nachri himself will communicate the necessary message? I am a Nachri, I should, don't give me Karm Pesach again. How is he gonna maneuver that? So Yehuda ben Maseira, b'chachmas, so brilliant. See, he realizes, I need to do two things. I need to figure out how I'm encoding the message in a way that the people Yerushalayim, the Bnei Yisrael Yerushalayim will understand, but the Nachri himself won't understand the implication of the message. How will I encode it? And what's the other issue? It's not just a question of encoding. It's also a question of incentivizing. Not just information, psychology. Because I want to make sure that the Nachri will convey this message. How do I get him to want to share this message? So in a moment, it sounds like Yehuda ben Maseira is listening to this Nachri brag, and he hops. What do you see about this Nachri? And this is part, perhaps, of why this story appears in the context of the episodes that follow the aftermath of Lishna Malia Sugya. He recognizes this Nachri is bragging. He's taking pride in the fact that he thinks he's outsmarted the Klal Yisrael. And Rabbi Mbisera realizes what I need to do is to play on that ego. This Nachri is taking again an ego trip on the fact that he's outsmarted the whole Karm Pesach system. You have to play on that. So Rabbi Mbisera immediately, both the encoding of the message and the incentivizing of the message both ride on the Nachri's ego. Because he says, He knows he's going to engage the Nachri if he says, you're not so smart. Oh, you think you got... You think you outsmarted them? Joke's on you. They outsmarted you. And he says, oh, how can you say that? Oh, that's a blow. That's a blow to my ego. He says, sure, they're not giving you Aliyah. You see, they must be on to you. That's the subtext here. They know that you're Nachri. You think you fooled them? You didn't fool them. They fooled you. If they really thought they're really keeping the best stuff for themselves. Well, the Nachrim they give the other meat to. But the Jews, remember Sarah implies, the Jews keep their eye for themselves. And the Nachrim says, no, I fooled them. He says, great, I dare you. Go ask for Aliyah, see what happens. So now in one fell swoop, both encoded the message, again in a way that, as we're about to see, the Jews in Yerushalayim will understand, but the Nachri is not equipped to understand that the message that he's carrying is a coded message. And a coded message that decoded says that the bearer of this message, Motzik Savzeh, the bearer of this message is a Nachri. And he also incentivized the Nachri to want to convey the message because he dared him, because he's poking his ego. So he says, and let's see a little more, then we'll stop the question. So that's what Rashi says. Niskavin lahatoso. You remember say it wasn't just randomly schmoozing or rambling here. This was a very targeted line. He was seeking to cause the Nachri to betray himself, to belie himself. Because it's the only way. The only way to get the information was he's going to send a letter to the Sanhedrin. There is a Nachri who's eating Karm Pesach. Who? Hundreds of thousands of people come to Karm Pesach. How are we going to pick out the one? Well, ask for ID. So the only way is the Nachri himself is going to have to self-identify. How are you going to do that? Discovering Lahatosa. This was Yehuda ben Maseira's chap. I'm going to get this Nachri himself to ask for Aliyah. And that's going to, in asking that question, and specifically the way it's going to play out, he's going to betray him. He's going to betray his own true identity. And then Rashi has this closing line. Rashi could have stopped here. Rashi has a closing line. Yehuda ben Maseira did not have the capacity to execute this Nachri himself. Which means, what? An elementary diuk. If he would have, if he could have, he would have. Right? Really, really, the guy is Chayav Misa. Really, if he would have had the capacity, he would have said, you're Chayav Misa right now, you're going to be executed. But he wasn't in a position to do that, so he needed to lay a trap so that it would happen in Yerushalayim. Jerei gets us wondering, it's one thing, you want to make sure that they don't give him Korban Pesach again. But to say Yechayev Misa, and again, as we know, they, as we can see, the end of the story, Itaka did put him to death. So let's see. So he says, and he takes the bait. Hook, line, and sinker. Kisalik, the next year, the Nacher goes once again to Yerushalayim. Once again, he's among the throngs coming for Korban Pesach, and when it comes to Leila Seder, they're carving the sheep for the Korban Pesach sheep, and they hand him a very fine piece. I'm sure he paid well. They hand him a nice steak, and he says, "That's all you can give me? Prime rib? I want tail." Kisalik Amar Lehumi Alas Fuli. He says to them, them being the other members of his chabura. Korban Pesach is Nachal B'Chaburah. Give me tail. I'm really, Al Yiluk of Olasach. What are you talking about? Give you tail. Tail goes up L'Gavoah. Once again, Samach Lamed Kuf. Once again, that same Shorish. Is Ola L'Gavoah. Every carbon, as we saw a couple weeks ago, we were learning Ezel Makaman, except for almost every carbon, with the exception of Ola and Samach Hatos, almost every carbon is largely eaten by human beings. Whether Kohanim or the Bailim or a mix. So when you have an animal, which is a Korban Pesach, certainly is mostly eaten, the basar is eaten. So the every carbon still has a segment, there'll be segments of the body of the animal which are emurim, which are burnt on Mizbeach. So Rashi explains that a sheep is al yasa kareva la gavoa. If you makir a sheep as a carbon, then the tail is part of the emurim, based on a pasuk. So he asks for a tail, but this is a rookie mistake. Everyone knows Pesachim Chumash, a sheep. No one eats the tail of a sheep, which is a carbon. If a sheep is a carbon, the tail is the burnt up is bad. The tail, all these lugavol salkit. And then Amrulay, they say to him again. You notice it's not a. There's a break in the Shach Vitaria. Amrulay, and then again Amrulay. Now they speak twice, which means. First they say, what are you talking about? The Aliyah Gavol Salk. And then they say, one second, like a double take. One second. Who asked him? He must have been insisting. No, I want the tail. Who gave you such an idea? Everyone knows you can't tell. It's Chumash. So he says, they say, who told you this? So I'm like, who are you remember saying? The Gadol HaDar told me that I should ask for the tail. Something fishy here. Like, the Gadol HaDar told you that we should daven mincha at midnight. So something's not adding up here. Something's off. And that was exactly what Rehum B'Seir was hoping would happen. And why was he insisting? He was insisting because Rehum B'Seir had poked his ego. Rehum B'Seir told him, they really, they're holding the tail themselves. Right? You're not as smart as you think you are. You're not winning, they're winning. And he said, no, I'm going to win. So I'm going to fight for the tail. They say, when they say to him, oh, the tail goes on carbon, he doesn't know Chumash. And he says, you're trying to fool me. Come on, I know. Don't make up dinim. I know you can give me the tail. You're just holding out on me. I pay you good money. And they're like, well, no, the rabbi told me I can't tell. Which rabbi? Reuven Seir. Oh, now I know. Dvarim bego. Something's going on. So Amru, now they say, my hai to come on. Mazel lefanenu. What's going on here? Even Sarah told him to ask for the tail. The Banku Bastre, they look into his background. Vashkechu da'armahu. And they discovered, and in fact, this fellow was a Nachar. And he had been eating Korban Pesach under false pretenses. Vikatluhu. And he was put to death. That's the end of the story. And then the Gemara has the epilogue. And then they sent a letter to Rehum B'Seir from Yerushalayim. Shalom lach Rehum B'Seir. Shalom aleichem to Rehum B'Seir. Da'at ben etzivin umutzudascha prusa b'Yerushalayim. A five-word another coded message. You're a Netzivan, but your net spreads all the way to Yerushalayim. In other words, you're hundreds of miles away. There are those who suggest that Netzivan is Nusaybin, which is nowadays the city of the near the border between Syria and Turkey, hundreds of miles to the northeast of Eretz Yisrael. So you're out there in Netzivan, but your net stretches hundreds, 500 miles all the way to Yerushalayim. As you snagged him, you were standing there, talking about a fisherman, right? It was like a 500-mile cast. You were standing, Rabbi Yehuda didn't leave Netzivan, but he hooked the Nachri in Yerushalayim. Very good. Very good. So that's the story. Fascinating. So why is this story even here? Well, what's the... How this is episode number 4 on Daf Gimel days, and we've seen a series of episodes that followed the Shach V'Tayr about the Lishna Malia. The Pasha Pshat, once again, it speaks to the power of language. It's a single story with two coded messages. One coded message that Yehuda Mesera incentivized the Nachri to convey, which is Sefuli Me'alia, which was decoded meant I am a Nachri. And then the other, the way Sanhedrin responds is also very elegant and oblique. You're in Netzivan, your net is spread to Yerushalayim. You begin to wonder what's on the second coded message. A few things should bother you. In terms of the connection to the Shlemaya, clearly also as mentioned before, it's the gaiva, the shachatz psul. It's the gaiva of the Nachri that did him in. You begin to wonder maybe why they needed to send a coded message back. The fact that the Yehuda Mesera had to encode the first message, he didn't want to just tell them, well, tell them that you're a Nachri. He doesn't want to tell them that he's a Nachri. So clearly he had to code that. He had to present that as why you tell them you want the tale. The fact that the Sanhedrin sent a coded message back, that's curious, not necessarily a kasha. Okay, maybe Derech Kitzar. What? Lishna Maya, Derech Kitzar. I mean, they didn't want to say, we got him. Long net, right? It's good. So maybe it's Lishna Maya, maybe it's Derech Kitzar. It was elegant. And the Rambam describes, Hilchos Talmud Torah, that based on Gemara's, that he draws this principle from a couple of stories the Gemara has of relation of interaction with Rebbeim and Talmidim, that sometimes the Rebbeim Rebbeim will present things to Talmidim as a riddle to sharpen their minds. Mm-hmm. So perhaps that's also. He doesn't need to sharpen. Okay, maybe that was the way they spoke. Maybe, but it's already the first curiosity is the last line. What do you even need to hear the last line for? Again, so if as Yosef suggests, the last line is a beautiful example of Lishna Mali, it's a beautiful example of Lashon Ketzar. Okay, maybe that's part of, and maybe in a sense the whole story is a setup for that last line, maybe, but it's curious that they needed that. And then, as you saw, there are some serious, serious kashas, halachic kashas on this story. What bothered you? You worked right through the first, just the words themselves. The language is tough. Once you cut through the language, what are the kashas on content? Yeah, one, two.
If you knew all the other
halachos,
why
did
you know about the
tent? Okay. So Binyan wants to know. Here's this guy. Obviously, had learned something. He was able to pass himself off as a Jew. So he was obviously able to walk the walk to an extent. So he knew what to do. So how come he had never?
Maybe he had
munas chachamim. Would be ironic. So how come he didn't know that the tail is not nechal? Yeah, what else? Good, what else?
I was going to ask, why do we kill a non-Jew for eating the tail?
Yeah, well, what's Chayiv Misa? And remember, Rashi is ready from the outset. It's not just in the end, Katlulu. Rashi had said from the beginning, really, you remember Misera, his immediate reaction was, really, he's Chayiv Misa, but I can't kill him, so let me make sure that it gets taken care of in Shalim.
Could have, like, weightier, like, taken back. Like, doesn't the I think if someone puts in the Shulchan Aruch that if you're a gadol, then and even if there's a mitzvah that only you can do, then you still have to do it if you're running Torah. So, you know, Zera knew he could catch the guy in Yerushalayim, and therefore he didn't kill
him. Well, Yerushalayim Zera, Rashi says, it was not biyado, biyad Yerushalayim Zera lohay lohargo, presumably means not one Yerushalayim Zera, it may just be practically that he was not in an area where he had the sovereignty to give capital punishment.
Maybe that's why they sent
it. In Eretz Yisrael, the Sanhedrin at that point still had the authority, the legal authority, to give capital punishment. Yerushalayim Zera is the rabbi of a small town up in Turkey. The local authorities would not have given him the authority to give capital punishment.
Maybe that's why they sent the message in code, so that none of the authorities see.
Oh, okay, good. So now Israel's already saying maybe part of the code also has to do with thinking about other political buys. That something we're going to be returned to. Yes. Yeah, so we're wondering. So now we're wondering how come Sanhedrin encodes their message, and we have several suggestions. We're wondering how come. It's interesting that Nachri knows some of Kar Hilchus Karim Pesach, but doesn't know about specifically about the tail. And that's a point that Tosis will perhaps address backhandedly. And then we're wondering, why is he Chayav Misa? And Yehuda Maseir already saw from the outset, he's really Chayav Misa, but I don't have the capacity to do it, so let me make sure that when he gets to a different jurisdiction, he gets to Yerushalayim, the Sanhedrin is empowered to give capital punishment, so that they'll take care of it there. Yeah? What else bothers you? So Tani says maybe he was Chayav Misa because of his spitefulness. Interesting. The question is, so you say, the fellow certainly was having an ego trip. And he's definitely not somebody he wanted as a roommate. An unpleasant person. But unpleasant people aren't Chayav Misa. Unpleasant people, either try to help them become more pleasant, or you try to do your own thing and not get involved. But being unpleasant is not a capital crime. So it is bothersome. Anything else trouble you?
So
what were you gonna say? Right. The question is, the chaf of the story is, you have such a long net that you're not even, you stayed in the tzivan, and why didn't you come? That's the irony. The Nachri went to bring Karim Pesach, and the Tana stayed home. Why is the Tana staying home? He's Jewish. Itaki is Jewish. He has a chiyuv of Aliyah Regel. He's a chiyuv of Karim Pesach. What's going on? Why is Yehuda Maseira not going? The Nachri did go. So it's not right. But Chayiv Misa, it seems a little severe. And then Tosfos also raises the issue of, previous Tosfos raised the issue. It's interesting that, and it goes back to sort of echoes of an earlier sugya on this Amud, with the Bedikas Kohanim. The implication of this story is they hadn't done an ID check up until this point, because now that they decide to look into his background, they discovered that he's an Achri. Now, why didn't they check beforehand? Why didn't they ask for ID? Where are the security guards asking for ID? You say you want Karim Pesach, let's see some identification.
When did they ID the Karim Pesach?
Well, so Tosis presents that question. And those are the... So again, how many kashas do we have?
We have
five kashas on the table. Five kashas on the table. Let's make sure that we have our five kashas down. Let's reorder them a little bit. Number one.
In order, one is
the only one who didn't understand. Okay. Lama lo bad kumi kodim. Why did they ever chat before?
Or maybe it could be why you have enough to go but not.
Question number two. Let's resequence the question. Question number one, I'm sorry, the floor is falling from the sun. Question number one is why didn't they check him initially? Question number two is, how do you not know? Why did he know that the aliyah is free? Question number three.
Why did he know the aliyah?
Question number three. Why do you move in the Seder, Rashid Bez Bez? Why did you move in the Seder ago? Question number four. Why did they kill him? Why was he called Misa? Question number five. So again, if I say five kashas. Number one, why didn't they check into his identity the first time? He's been eating Karban Pesach at least once. It sounds like you get the impression that he's been doing it for a while. So why didn't they check? And it's not as though they checked and he had hidden it, because when they did indeed check, they discovered, it sounds like maybe even pretty quickly. So why didn't they initially check to see whether he's a Yisrael or a Nachri? Question number two is Binyamin's Kasha. The Nachri knows many other things. How come he didn't know that the Aliyah is Kreva? Question number three is, why was Reuven B'Seira himself not coming up? Aliyah L'Rega, the question number three has two parts to it. Aliyah L'Regel, Karban Pesach. Question number four is, why was he Chayav Misa? And they actually executed him in Yerushalayim at the end of the story. And according to Rashi, when Messiah already had that in mind, they rushed. Question number five is, what's shot with this, the second riddle? We understand why the first message from Netzivim to Yerushalayim had to be encoded. But why do they need to encode the return message from Yerushalayim to the teams? We're going to get a couple of suggestions about that. So let's, for now, take a look. We'll get started. And there's a lot. Some of these questions have some literature. Some of these questions have a lot of literature. See, Tosfos talks about some of this. Minchas Chinuch has what to say. And then, maybe at the end of the sugya, after dealing with the questions individually, we're going to see the Maariv Chayis has a tshuva, which he develops a phenomenal yesod, a remarkable, surprising yesod, for which he has rayas from across Shas, and applying that yesod to our sugya will solve at least four of these kashas independently. But first, let's go step by step. Step by step. So the Tosfos here, the first question, the way we resequence the questions, the first question is raised by Tosfos Dimasul Va'ana, right here on the Amud. It's worth being sensitive, once again, just in terms of methodology, in terms of the Achlim, understanding that, as we've seen already many times this year, Tosfos is asking a question, though he doesn't say Vem Toma. You have to appreciate the multiple layers of meaning, the multiple steps that go into the first few lines of Tosfos. Mikan ein rayish, let's just read, and then let's think of what he's saying. Mikan ein rayish enam in l'chalabalef aneinu v'omri Yisrael ani. There's no raya from here that we believe anyone who comes and says, I'm Jewish. The shiny hacha, because here is different, the rov Yisrael hayu, because they were mostly Jewish, v'azlinam basar ruba. And we follow the rov. So when you look at that Tosfos, if you're just still looking ba'ofen shetchi, superficially, okay, he set up a something, now manos in the robe, and okay. How would you break that Tosfos down if you're doing this for real? He just gave a kasha with two terutzim. What's the kasha with the two terutzim?
How do we know that everyone's going in? Sure.
Yeah.
Teretz. One teretz is we don't need to become robe, so therefore we assume that he's a Jew.
That's the second teretz.
The
first teretz. You believe nobody's coming.
You believe everybody who comes.
The first answer might be, people are neman to say I'm Jewish. The sugya is largely in Kiddushin. The Tosfos goes on to quote a couple of Gemaras in Yevamos. The questions of nemanus about self are interesting. The question, this really gets into the larger question of nemanus. How do I know, what are the halachic standards of evidence? And you know, there's a lot to say about that. Everyone here, I'm sure, knows that there are several areas of halacha where you need two edim. The Torah says you need two edim and to give capital punishment for Misa, for Malkus. You need two Eidim. The Torah says you need two Eidim for Mamon. And if there's a financial dispute that comes to Beis Din Chosh Mishpat, you need two Eidim in order to extract. For Beis Din to tell one party they have to pay the other, you need the evidence of two Eidim. And then the Gemara has a drasha, Gzeira Shava, because when the Torah speaks about Eidus, two Eidim by money, they use the word Davar. The Gemara says Gzeira Shava, because the Kiseitse, he matza ba'ervas davar. So we say davar davar mi mamon. We learn Gzeira Shava from mamon to davar sheva erva. That's why it's called davar sheva erva. It's called davar sheva erva because Gzeira Shava uses the word davar. Davar sheva erva also requires two edim. So those are the three areas of halacha, of the three major areas you require two edim. Misa, malchus, onshe guf, mamon, and davar sheva erva. There's some others also, perhaps kiddush achorish and so on and so forth, but the three major areas require shnei edim. Are onshe aguf, misa malkus, mamon, and davar sheva erva. But in Easter, but if I want to go shopping for kosher food, I don't need two eidim to say we saw the shechita. Right? In Easter v'heter, you only need Easter v'heter. It suffices to have one eid. Eidach and nemen be isurim. So there is halacha lekar two eidim. There's halacha where it's enough to have one eid. That's sort of the beginning of the conversation about ne'emanus. Who's believed for what? Different areas of halacha have different standards. And then there are other ways of knowing information besides eidim also. As Tosis points out, Rove. I'm sure last year in Chulin you must have spent time on Rove and Chazaka and so forth. The Rabbi Tosis says, something like I can determine fact based on probability, based on statistics, based on a row. Well, the vast majority of people coming to eat Karb Pesach in Yerushalayim on the 14th of Nisan are Jewish. So here this guy shows up, we don't know one or the other. So there's an overwhelming row that indicates that he too is a Yisrael. But the first point Tosfos was making was maybe this is something where you're Neman al Atzmo. So here let's have these interesting questions that come, I believe, late Masechet Kiddushin. Like, how do you believe someone? How do you believe someone? A couple shows up in town, husband and wife move into town.
They were missionaries.
Right? So, husband and wife walk into town. A couple move to town. So, how do you know they're a couple? How do you know they're married? A family moves in, father, mother, and children. Or mother and children, or father and children. So, how do you know they're. I know they're related. A guy shows up and says, I'm a Kohen. Guy who moves into town, moves from out of town, is he Kohen? He wants the first Ali, he wants the Duchen. Is he Kohen?
Yes.
So that's larger sugis about the extent to which people can create, people are, to what extent are people believed to self-identify? That's a sort of an interesting corner in the world of, in the questions of Neimanus. Or let's say the midwife or an OBGYN, you know, oversees that delivers a baby. So how do you know this baby, going back to last week's haftar, right? Who's to say who's the mother of the baby? So the Gemara actually says that the chaya, the midwife, has ne'emanus, more than you would have expected. Because you could, who is whose child, really davar shem erva in many ways. So you could have imagined that you would need to aid him to identify that this baby is a child of this mother. So that's a chiddush. No, the chaya, the midwife, has that nemanus. So Tosis is wondering at the same question. I come and say I'm a Jew. You never met me before. Am I a Jew? If I'm Jewish, I'm nemanus, say I'm Jewish. Okay. Well, that's very circular. If I'm Jewish, I'm Eidech and I'm Bisurin. But am I Jewish? Or am I not Jewish? Pull myself up with my own bootstraps. A little bit of a logical loop here. So first Tosis seems to imply one answer is yes. Maybe a person is Nemet to say Yisrael Ani. Maybe I am Nemet to say Yisrael Ani. But then Tosis says, or this is not a Raya because the other way of understanding our sugya is it was based on Rove. Maybe if I just come out of the blue in a vacuum, if there's no evidence either way, and I say Yisrael, I fell moved to town, I say Yisrael Ani, Well, maybe you are, maybe you're not. How do we know? But here, a fellow shows up and wants to register for Karban Pesach. Of the hundreds of thousands of people seeking to register for Karban Pesach, what percentage are Yisraelim? 99.99%. So if we don't know one way or the other, we have a row. That's what I was saying before. If you learn the Tosafot slowly and carefully, he really is raising an issue and giving two suggestions. Suggestion number one is yes, Adam Neman al Atzmo Lomer Yisrael Ani. And option number two is maybe he's Neman here because of the row. And that's why I cannot prove option number one. Tosafot goes on to say, I have a Gemara in Yevamos, the Perek HaCholot, that might be more of a raya. There are other Gemaras where Tosafot a couple lines down. This fellow, Hahuda Asal Kamed Rabbi Yehuda. A fellow comes to the Tanur of Yehuda and he says, Oniskayarti Beinu Bein Atzmi. I underwent the Geras with no one watching. My Geras, there was no basement. So, Rabbi Yehuda says to him, Neman Ata Lifsos Atzmacha, Yata Neman Lifsos Banach. Well, if you want to say that you're not Jewish, you have belief to do that, but you're not believed to do that to your children. Interesting. Why did we assume initially that he was Jewish? It must as it's Neman Adam Atzma. The Torah says that maybe the Gemara does indicate Neman Adam Atzma Lomi Yisraelani. Our Gemara does not prove it. And finally, what was driving Tosis to begin with? Why was Tosis? Why should I not say that Adam Ne'emar Atzmo? So Tosis finally, at the end, explains what was bothering them to begin with. But at the end of Tosis, Ahadam Ba'acholik, they quote Menvav and Beis Yivamis. Mishabava Amar Ger Ani. In fact, the Brisa says the fellow comes and says, "I'm a Ger." Yachem Mekablenu. So we might think we should accept him. Talmud Lomer Itcha B'Musa Muchzakla. It has to be Itcha, only if he's already with you, only if he's already presumed to be a Jew. So that price seems to indicate pretty clearly that a person cannot self-generate Nemanah that he's Jewish. Now we see what was really bothering Tosis to begin with. What was really bothering Tosis is a stira between Psachim Dav Gimel and Yevamos Dav Mem Vav. The Psachim Dav Gimel sounds like they weren't Bodek until Yudah Ben Sarah had raised the alarm. So apparently up until that point, Adam Neman al Atzma. I ben Yevamos Mem Vav. It's explicit. The Brisa that makes a drasha. Tamar Lomar Yitzcha. You're not believed to say Yisra'an. The Tosa says no. What you could say our sug is the exception, and our sug he's not really Neman. Just says there's a rov. Or you could say no, that sug is the exception. Hasa Mai b'Muchzaglam ba'Avos Hashem Nachrim. It's not that he comes and says, notice, he didn't say Yisrael Ani. He said Ger Ani. In other words, we know that he comes of non-Jewish stock. He's saying, yes, but I underwent the Gerus. So that's not a vacuum. That means the starting point, Gerus is marvelous, and Gerus is absolutely effective. But Gerus means a change of status. So if a fellow comes out of the blue and says, Yisrael Ani, we don't know whether he's Jewish or not, that's what Tosa says. So Yesh La'ayin, is he Neman al-Atzma or not? But here Tosa says that Gemara is not a raya, because here we know that his grandfather was a Nachri. So the question is, did they change? So that's one rule of Neman, as Tosa mentioned at the beginning, the rule of Rov. Here Tosa raises another tool that we use in dealing with Suffolk, in dealing with incomplete information. That is Chazaka. We know that the status quo ante, the original status was he was a Nachri. We're not sure if it changed, so we need evidence to indicate that it changed. Otherwise, we're going to assume, Chazak de Meikar will assume that the original status quo has remained. So that's, again, what the Tosis raises is to what extent do you need certification? To what extent do you need to be mevara the information? Lamasa, I've had this chus, I have the incredible chus, of serving as a dayan on more than one gerus. So at the end of a gerus, after the ger emerges from the mikvah and gets dressed, puts himself together, so he gets a document signed by the dayanim that this fellow is a holy Jew. He underwent gerus, and he has proof. That's not a problem. The reason why you might want that type of documentation is because of the question Tosis is raising of to what extent am I Neman without any documentation? And particularly, as Tosis pointed out, if he's known to have been a Nachi initially, he's going to need proof that he indeed underwent a status change. So we'll give him that proof. A valid Beis Din will gladly attest to the fact that this fellow is Ahav and Nechmad. The language in that shtar is very, very beautiful. So the Rambam has a beautiful language in a letter he wrote to Ger. He writes that Rambam writes a letter to Ovadia Hager. He had been a Muslim who converted to Yadus. And he writes to Rambam that his Ovadia writes his local rabbi, he was giving him a hard time about his Muslim background. And this and that, giving him a hard time. The Rambam had, scathing about the Rebbe and gorgeous about the Talmud. He said that the Talmud writes, my Rebbe called me a fool for saying this, for saying that. He says, I don't know who's a fool. You made the difficult choice to give up everything you had and to in search of Torah's Emes. So that's the wisest decision one could have made. He said, you are in very good shape. Your Rebbe needs to do tshuva. You're in great shape. So far we have five kashas on our sugya. And so far we dealt with the first one. Is how come they didn't check? Either they didn't check because indeed, Neman Adama Asmar Lomar Yisrael Ani. And maybe that Gemar Yevamos Ben Vav is an exception. That's only because he's muchzak to be an Afri. And he's claiming Geirus. So you need more than just your own claim. You need proof. Or, in a Chanami, maybe Eino Adam Neman Lomar Yisrael Ani, even in a vacuum. And our sugya worked because of Rov. Okay. So that's the first question. But we remain now with the other four questions. How come he didn't know on his own that Aliyah is Kreva? How come Yehuda Ben Meseira is staying in Tzivan? How come the Nachri Utaka comes again? Well, Chayiv Misa. We should tell him, you're not invited. Chayiv Misa. It seems a little severe. And finally, so the epilogue, how come the Sanhedrin felt the need to send the return message in a coded fashion as well? So we will pick up with this next time.